It's Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat, Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Mike Chinquette, an attorney and former chief counsel to Republican Governor Paul LePage. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Mike, happy Thursday. This week, the field of Democrats who would like to challenge the GOP incumbent Congressman Bruce Poliquin in Maine's 2nd District grew from 5 to 6. The newest name, Lucas St. Clair, adds an interesting twist. St. Clair has been a champion of the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument that's been such a controversial issue in the district, and is the son of Burt's Bees founder Roxanne Quimby, who donated the land along with tens of millions of dollars to help make the designation by former President Obama possible. Cynthia, if St. Clair could make it through the primary, how do you think his chances look for ousting Poliquin?
Lucas St. Clair is a very strong candidate. I mean, the National Monument accomplishment of his is real evidence that he can bring people together and get things done that creates jobs. And he brought a diverse group of people in the 2nd Congressional District, as well as around Maine and around the country, to support a national monument when, you know, the governor of Maine was opposed to it. The congressional delegation, in large part, were either opposed or on the fence. And so to have that done is great. He grew up in the district. He's a businessman. He's incredibly charismatic, very, very smart. Talented. He ran a restaurant for, 10 years employing, dozens of people. So I think Lucas St. Clair is going to give Bruce Poliquin a run for his money.
Is St. Clair, Mike, leveraging the monument issue? Is that his major tool in this campaign?
Oh, I think it has to be. That's certainly the most high profile thing he's done thus far. You know, the biggest challenge they're going to have, though, is one, there is a 6-person Democratic primary, if not more. And, the 2nd District is a tale, of several different areas. You have the Lewiston and the Auburns. You have the Millinocket areas. You have the county. You have Bangor. And while Lucas St. Clair may have a lot of strength in that Millinocket region from those who were supportive of the monument or those who have come to support it, Bruce Poliquin, think of him what you will, is the Energizer Bunny. He's all over the district. He's all over the Capitol. He's sleeping in his office. And he's actually making headway with various things such as New Balance and some of the other challenges that former Representative Mike Michaud couldn't move. So while Lucas is certainly a strong candidate, I wouldn't count Bruce out just yet.
Dick, why wouldn't St. Clair, and you'd have to ask him, I guess, but would you speculate why St. Clair wouldn't just skip the primary and run as an independent?
The reasons people are part of parties are not just about, in what forum do you have the best chance of winning. It's a matter of how you want to engage in politics as part of a party organization or not. I think Bruce Poliquin is vulnerable. Partly, I think it's going to be a year that's a swing away from Republicans, which wasn't true the last two elections that he had. And part of it is that the two what appear to be the leading candidates on the Democratic side seem like fairly strong candidates. I think his opposition has done a pretty effective job of making him appear evasive on issues. When he decides to not take a position on any particular bill, if Susan Collins does it, it's kind of like she's being thoughtful. But if Bruce Poliquin does it, it's like he's being cagey and evasive for some reason. And I think they've portrayed him very well that way. All those things, I think, make him vulnerable.
The Poliquin campaign's initial response to the news that St. Clair was jumping in was basically to accuse him of being a carpetbagger.
Well, that was one reaction. The other reaction was accusing him of politicizing, making the announcement on the day of the tragedy of a shooting, which I thought was really ironic, given that Bruce Poliquin's opposition to gun control, and he made the list in the New York Times as being one of the 10 top, recipients of NRA contributions. And so I just thought it was just in such poor taste of Poliquin's campaign to accuse Lucas St. Clair of somehow abusing a gun shooting for political gain, when at the same time, Bruce Poliquin sends out these empty, hollow, our thoughts and prayers are with the people who get killed, and yet he is been opposed to any common sense gun legislation since he's been in Washington. And that's not where I think the country is going. And that's where I think there's opportunity for Democrats who can have a jobs record, who are moderate in their politics, but are willing to have the courage to back common sense gun safety measures that a majority of Americans really want.
All right. So this is a good segue, because this is the second issue here in the wake of this mass shooting in Las Vegas. Even, Mike, some top congressional leaders who've stayed far away from gun control of any form have kind of hinted that they're willing to visit this issue, at least on this question around banning bump stocks, which is this apparatus that allows the conversion from a semi-automatic to an automatic weapon, essentially. Has the atmosphere changed here around gun legislation?
I'm not sure the atmosphere's changed, but the one upside in the public debate on this is that, okay, bump stocks are a real piece and a real functional component of a firearm that we can have a conversation about. One of the challenges, I think, over the past several years with this gun control debate and, you know, as Cynthia says, so-called common sense gun control, is it doesn't necessarily align with the causes of gun violence. There was a nice article written in the Washington Post that was published in the Bangor Daily News by a statistician and former writer for 538, the website. And as she kind of delved into the gun policy debate, she had a natural inclination to support certain, you know, so-called common sense gun control policies. And the more she looked at the data, the more she asked questions, she started to see they wouldn't align with the challenges we were facing. So if we can have a debate over actual, tangible, specific pieces, I think that's valuable. But jumping into things that are unrelated causes all sides to retreat to their camps.
Gun safety measures now, in my view, it's in the Republican court. If we can't acknowledge that there's a problem with gun violence in the United States and that it's a problem that has to be addressed by policymakers and that Republicans are in the control of the White House, the Senate, the Congress, the majority of state houses, Republicans have to step up to the plate and come up with some solutions. If what's on the table is not acceptable, then come up with something that's going to deal with the problem.
Dick, is there going to be any change in the gun debate?
Well, I don't know. I do think the atmosphere has shifted, but I don't think it's a simple shift to characterize. On the one hand, you have these, you know, terrible tragedies that happen, and there's immediate cause for more gun control. On the other hand, when you're living in a society that has increasing lawlessness, increasing sense of chaos, just a sense of greater instability, there's almost also a shift in another direction, which say, you know, people say maybe I need to have guns more. So I actually think that the shift is more complicated, and in some ways two directional. And so I don't think that this naturally leads to necessarily more gun control.
Cynthia, Dick, Mike, see you next week.